I'd ask you to please turn with me to the book of Revelation and chapter 3, the book of Revelation and chapter 3 and verse 20. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. And the subject before us this evening, just for a short while, is Christ at the door of our hearts. Christ knocking at the door of our hearts. And our text this evening forms the closing part of the message to the church at Laodicea. Under the all-knowing head of the church, Jesus Christ, the church at Laodicea had been assessed and diagnosed as being a church in need of special measures. They had become half-hearted in their labours for the Lord. They were measuring their spiritual wealth by their spirit, by their success, by their material prosperity. They were thinking because they were being prospered materially, their faith must be strong, God must be pleased with them, they're doing very well in their lives, and therefore their material prosperity, their wealth went hand in hand with the very fact they must be spiritually wealthy. Sadly, they were deceiving themselves. And so it is that Jesus Christ, the head of the church, calls them to repentance, and in a spirit of love, he rebukes and he chastens them. And this is a remarkable verse. The previous verse, verse 19, he said some really awesome things to this church at Laodicea. He tells them, because you say I'm rich, I've become wealthy and have need of nothing, do you not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? But then in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Isn't this wonderful? Here is a church which is diagnosed as being in special measures. And here is the Savior Jesus Christ saying, look, as many as I love, it's because I love, it's because I care for you, I rebuke you and I chasten you. Therefore listen to me as the Savior of love and the Shepherd of love, and be zealous and repent. It is undoubtedly then a wake-up call from the head of the church who cares for his flock. He wants the best for them. But the Lord then concludes his message with a gracious invitation, which we have read here in verse 20. And this invitation can have an application in three ways. First, and I think foremost really in the context, it is an invitation to backsliding members of the Laodicean church to repent and fellowship with him again. And maybe those of you here this evening that have grown cold in your love for God, and Jesus is standing there and he's knocking at the door of your heart and he's saying, look, if you will repent and you open the door of your heart, I will come in again and I will dine with him, and he with me. You can have this fellowship again. You can have this renewed fellowship again with me. I'm still standing there. I'm still standing at the door, and I'm knocking on the door of your heart. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. It's because I speak these words, because I love you, I speak these words to you. So that is the first context, the first application in the very context of the verses in which it is written to the Laodicean church. But secondly, it is linked with the parable of the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 12. If we turn to Luke chapter 12, we will see there how the Lord Jesus is speaking about his second coming. So as much as we need fellowship here on earth, we need to be ready for his second coming. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 36, we'll read from verse 35. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like the men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, that they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you, he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. Now, dear friends, we read the last chapter of the book of Revelation this evening, and it really struck me as I was reading it this evening, friends. Can we say in verse 20, Amen, even so come, Lord Jesus? He said, I'm coming quickly. Can we say, so be it, Lord? Come quickly, Lord. I'm ready, Lord. I'm longing to see your face, Lord. I'm longing to go to heaven, Lord. And if we can't say that this evening, then Jesus is at the door of your heart and he's knocking. He's knocking at the door of your heart. He's saying you need fellowship with me. But then thirdly, it takes the form of a gospel appeal to sinners. Because our text says here, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door. And it is this third application, albeit teaching can certainly be made from those other two applications, and that may be how it's applied to you this evening. Particularly this evening, though, I'd like to look at it from the gospel application, the universal gospel appeal to sinners, to anyone who hears his voice. If anyone hears his voice and opens the door. Now, when we look at the various gospel invitations in the New Testament, the various applications of the gospel that we can make in the parables, for example, and different texts throughout scripture, you will notice that there are different approaches given in the inspired word of God in terms of presentation of the gospel. So, for example, Jesus says, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. It's actually an appeal to the will. But then we read elsewhere that it is God who works in our will to do of his good pleasure. It's only God who can actually so work in our very being to give us that desire to respond. It's the Spirit of God that works in us. And yet, if we take that text on its own, whosoever will, then we might say, well, that is, the Lord is saying, it's just down to my will. When we take these texts, we have to take them as they are. They stand on their own as truth, but they do so in the context of the whole truth. They are the truth, but they're in the context of the whole truth. So you look at these texts, which they do not contradict each other, but they are to be seen in the context of the whole. But we don't need to water them down. We don't need to start qualify them and say, well, whosoever will, but you've got this and this and this. If that's what it says in Scripture, we just preach what it says in the Scripture of God, and it's the work of the Spirit to ensure that we see it in the context of the whole truth. And so here we have a similar type of scripture. It says, I'm standing at the door and knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. If you open the door of your heart, Jesus says he will come in. Now we know in the context of sovereign grace that God is working already and stirring the heart and working by his Spirit. But we need to take these verses exactly as they say. Jesus says here, if anyone, whoever, hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. So I hope you realize then I receive this message in the spirit in which I'm attempting to preach it, exactly as the Lord Jesus speaks, because that is their authority. So let's look then, first of all, at the person knocking at the door of our hearts. Now, the description given here of Christ, the head of the church, is a description of divine dignity. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who's standing at the door of your heart. And he's divinely gracious. He's divinely condescending. He's divinely patient. And he's saying this evening, behold, look, consider, this is amazing. I, the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, is standing at the door of your heart and knocking on the door of your heart. I stand at the door in my authority as Savior and Lord. I stand at the door not as one begging entry on your terms, as though you are doing me a favor by letting me in, though it's all to do with you. No, I stand at the door and knock as the divine Son of God, the second person in the Trinity, made a man, Jesus, the Son of God, the head of the church, the most important man in the whole world. And as God, verily God and verily man, I stand at the door and knock. And entry into your heart means that you're going to welcome me into your life as your Savior and your Lord. That's the significance of this. It's not just saying, well, yes, I'm convicted of my sin and I need a Savior. That is true. That is important. That is vital. But it's more than that. This is talking about fellowship. This is talking about having Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. And as you open the door of your heart to welcome the Lord Jesus into your life, whether it be after a period of backsliding and you long to know fellowship with him again, or whether it be your first opening, as it were, of the door, you do so overwhelmed by his gracious favor, his gracious patience, his gracious long-suffering to you, and the very fact he's willing to visit you and knock on the door of your heart personally. And he stands there, and he knocks as your Savior and Lord. But do you not know this evening that you are accountable before this God, the Son of God? He's knocking at the door of your heart. And on the great day of judgment, if you just reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't be able to say, well, nobody told me. Nobody ever knocked on the door of my heart. Jesus says this evening, I stand at the door and knock. But this also speaks to us of the simplicity of salvation. And that's what makes the gospel so solemn. If the gospel was complicated and the gospel was meant you had to take some type of examination, we could all say, well, I'm not that intellectual, so I don't really have any chance, really, much of a chance. Only the people who are intellectual or whatever can get through this exam, and it might give us some excuse. But the simplicity of the gospel renders you without excuse. But Jesus simply says here, open the door. And that is why the gospel is so solemn. It's so serious. It's not like Jesus is asking us to go through a whole host of examinations and tests so that we pass the degree. He's simply saying to you this evening, I'm knocking at the door of your heart. I'm knocking at the door of your life. And if you will open your heart and let me in, we know this is under the power of God that it can only be so, But this is the language Jesus is using, and this is the language I use this evening. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. But our problem by nature is that the door of our heart is barred. It's bolted. And we are given a number of bolts to fasten the door of our hearts by Satan to deter us from opening the door. And if one bolt is dealt with, Satan will give us another bolt. And so we go through life sadly. And Jesus, through the gospel, is knocking on the door of our hearts, and we still bring up these new bolts to bar the gate. There's the bolt of unbelief. There's the bolt of prevarication. There's a bolt of worldly cares. And there's a bolt of delusion. There's a bolt of materialism. And there's a bolt of pride. Nevertheless, at the door of our heart stands Jesus, the Son of God, knocking and speaking to us at the door. Now, if you were told, like you have these delivery slots when you order something from a carrier company, and they send you a text and say you've got a delivery slot between 8 and 12 in the morning, and you say, well, I'm going to stay in to receive this parcel. If you were told that you had a 12-hour slot whereupon the Queen of England was passing by and she's going to call by to have a look at your house and your garden, she so much wants to see an ordinary house, see what it's like to live in an ordinary house, and would you go out? Would you go off to Lidl's or Sainsbury's and say, oh, I'm out? Of course you wouldn't. If it was such a thing should happen, you'd stay in. But when the gospel is being preached, the Lord Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart, the Son of God. And there is a wonderful promise to the one who opens the door. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. So he provides a most remarkable reason and motivation for opening the door. And the great motivation here in our text is that you will have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You will have a friend who will understand you. You will have a friend that will commune with you. I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. You will dine off his blessedness and off the spiritual blessings coming from him of forgiveness and peace and reconciliation and wisdom and truth and grace. And you'll dine on the wonders of his person. And he will dine with you. He will accept your praises and your service and your adoration. There will be this harmony, this fellowship between you both. It speaks of having delight in one another's company. It speaks of dining on his spiritual blessing and favor. And he to dine on our praise and thanksgiving and service and dependence upon him. And this dining that is described here is seen in the house of Bethany, where Jesus was with Mary and Martha and Lazarus and others there in that meal that was going on. And while the meal was being, or while Martha was preparing the meal, Jesus was teaching. And Mary understood the blessing of opening her heart to Jesus. She heard his voice and she opened the door of her heart and he came into her and he dined with her spiritually. Now, Martha's heart at the time was shut with a bolt of care. She was cumbered about with much serving, and Satan used that situation, that strength, if you like, of Martha, which was in hospitality and in kindness. It was such a great in one way, such a great strength for Martha as a believer. She loved to look after people. She loved to look after the Lord Jesus in her home. And it was a strength in one way, but Satan made it a snare. And Satan used the very thing which was part of her service for the Lord and said, and put such an emphasis on it that actually took over knowing Jesus for herself in her soul. And so her work for the Lord became more important than her fellowship with the Lord. And Jesus had to speak to her very kindly about this. But Mary understood. This is an opportunity not to be missed. Oh, Jesus doesn't call by my house every day. He doesn't speak like this every day. And he's only going to be here a certain amount of time on this life. I'm going to take this opportunity. We have it also pictured in the account of the conversion of Zacchaeus, who opened his heart to the Lord Jesus. That Jesus told him he must come and dine with him. He will not only enter his house, but his heart spiritually. Oh, Zacchaeus was so pleased. He entertained him in his house, but more than that, by faith, he received him into his heart. Now, this is the question before us then this evening, that I'm sure you'd like to answer. I've answered, how do we hear the voice of Jesus knocking at the door of our hearts? Because Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Well, of course, we hear the word of Jesus standing at the door and knocking and speaking to us through his voice. Well, it comes through the word of God, applied to us under the power of the Spirit. But there's different aspects in the way in which God, in Jesus Christ, speaks to us, how he knocks at the door of our heart. Primarily, it's through the gospel. Jesus is saying, I have come into this world as the Savior of the world. And whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So primarily, we hear Jesus speaking. The words Jesus are speaking are through the gospel. Through Calvary, through the demonstration of God's love to unworthy sinners. But there are other ways in which God does speak in a way of support to the gospel, if you like. He speaks through creation. Jesus is knocking on the door of your hearts when you see the beautiful trees. We had the privilege this afternoon to have a Skype conversation with our family in America. And, oh, the trees in their garden. Amazing. Beautiful deep reds and browns. Beautiful, beautiful colours. And God's speaking to you this evening. You go out tomorrow morning and you see the beautiful colours on the trees. And Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. I know my nephew was converted, actually, by being overwhelmed by creation. One day he was going to work, and he was working at my factory at the time, and he told me when it happened, he said, I was driving to work, and he said, I was just thinking my own thoughts, and suddenly I beheld this beautiful vision of creation. I saw the wonder of God's handiwork. It must have been a beautiful morning. Maybe it was the mist. I don't know even the time of the year. But God stopped him by the wonder of his creation. And Jesus spoke to him. And he was knocking at the door of his heart saying, look, I am the creator. But then there's another way in which Jesus knocks at the door. And he does it through the law, through the conscience. When the law convicts us of our sin and we realize that we've broken God's commandment, every one, and we come under conviction, and Jesus is knocking at the door of our hearts saying, I am the only one who can save you from the condemnation of the law. And actually, if you are in Jesus Christ, if I'm in your heart, if I'm your Savior, then actually, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And so, Jesus knocking at the door of our heart. Sometimes Jesus knocks at the door of our heart by circumstances. He brings us into difficult situations. In God's permissive will, we're allowed to go through pathways of sorrow and suffering. And they're wake-up calls. It's not that God... it's because God loves us that he allows us to go through these pathways. But in these pathways, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him. I'll dine with him. I'll be with that person, even through the most difficult situations in their life. I'm knocking at the door of your heart. If you open the door, I will come in and I will dine with you. And you will... I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. So, how should we respond then to Jesus knocking at the door of our hearts? Jesus says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. But you say, I'm like the person you described. My heart is like the door which is bolted by unbelief and distraction and cares, and I don't seem to hear Jesus speaking to me. Even through the gospel, it just bounces off me. And I've long withstood his face. I've disregarded his voice. However can I open the door of my heart? Well, the first thing we need to do is to plead with the Lord in prayer, because he says here, of anyone. And that's where you come in. You're one of the anyones. You're not a nobody, you're one of the anyones. Jesus says, if anyone hears my voice. And you say, well, this is my problem, Pastor. I don't hear Jesus speaking. It's like my heart is so hard. Well, you can pray to the Lord. Lord, open my ears to hear your voice speaking to me. Lord, open my ears. I'm one of the anyones, Lord. Open my ears to hear your voice speaking to me. Oh, Lord, grant me the gift of faith whereby with my whole being I open the door of my heart. Lord, work in my life by your Holy Spirit that I will be able to respond, that I will hear you speaking to me personally, and I will open the door by faith in my heart. Because to open the door means to receive Jesus into our hearts by faith, trusting in him and him alone. It is heeding his voice and opening the door. It is saying to Jesus, oh Lord Jesus, I am an unworthy sinner, and my heart is an unworthy dwelling place. Unworthy dwelling, glorious guest will be your prayer. But Lord, come. Lord, come. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Make room in your heart for me. Be the leader of my life. Be my chief guest. Be at home in my heart. Cleanse the house of my heart, Lord, by thy precious blood. Be my chief guest. Be at home in my heart, Lord. Take over my life, Lord. Be the leader of my life, Lord. Walk with me, Lord. That's how we need to pray. Grant me the gift of repentance and faith, that I might respond, Lord, according to your word. What it says here, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, oh, speak to me, Lord, personally, and open the door, oh Lord. Help me. Help me even to open the door of my heart, Lord. And we know that this is a work of God and the work of God's grace. There was two famous politicians by the name of William Wilberforce and William Pitt. And there's a well-known story about these two men. They were both brilliant men. They were both politicians and they were very great friends. But William Wilberforce was converted and became a Christian But William Pitt, like so many others, was not a formal Christian. And William Wilberforce was very concerned about William Pitt, and he persuaded him to go with him to a service. And the preacher was a man named Richard Cecil, and he was a great evangelical preacher. And William Wilberforce delighted in his ministry, and as the man was preaching, he was drinking it all in and thinking, this is amazing, oh, my friend will be so blessed, William Pitt, with this message. And on the way home, he said to William Wilberforce, I don't know what the man was talking about. See, his heart was totally bolted to the wonderful message of the gospel in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we need to pray, Lord, work in my life. Don't let the message of the gospel keep bouncing off me, Lord. Because your word says to me that you're standing at the door and you're knocking at the door of my heart. And I am one of the any ones, but I have to hear your voice. I have to know that you are speaking to me. And God speaks to us through the gospel. Lord, help me to open the door of my heart. Help me, Lord. The Lord opened the heart of Lydia, that she attended unto the words of the Apostle Paul. And you might say, well, there you are. I don't have to open it myself. The Lord opened the heart of Lydia. Well, if you actually think about what happened there, the Lord worked so in her heart by His Spirit to make her open to the truth in her heart. That's what she became open to. The Lord by His Spirit so worked in Lydia's life that she attended, she heard, she listened, she attended unto the things which the Apostle Paul preached. And as a consequence of personally attending to the words spoken to her, she heard Jesus speaking to her through the gospel. She then, by faith, opened the door of her heart in a personal way to Jesus. Because she heard Jesus speaking and she received the truth of the words of Jesus, the truth of Jesus, and she opened the door of her heart in a personal way that she attended unto the things that Paul spoke. And this is a pattern to note how God works in us by His Spirit. He stirs the heart. He makes us able to attend the word so that by faith we come to hear Jesus speaking to us through the gospel, knocking on the door of our heart. And John Calvin said, faith is not a distant view, but a warm embrace of Christ. It's welcoming Him into our hearts. So Jesus says this evening, behold, consider, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, without hesitation, I will come in and dine with him and he with me.